been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the week before the bye week, Ravens versus Titans. That's a game I want to tell you I just want to forget. I really don't want to do this show right now because, man, did that suck. But joining me, talking me off the ledge, it's my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Man, oh man, oh man. Here we go. Up and down. I feel like I'm at Hershey Park at a roller coaster ride.
It really feels like that, doesn't it?
We win, we lose. We win, we lose. We suck, we're great. We're happy, we're sad. We're breaking down a great win, and we're frustrated for a great loss, man. It's just, each show is just, it's either or, man.
How do you go from 40 to nothing to the game that we saw on Sunday against the Titans? Are the Dolphins really that bad?
No, I got an answer for you, because it's the 2017 Baltimore Ravens as we know it.
This is just, I mean, it is night and day. It is just so hard to comprehend this team because, man, none of this makes any sense, how just poor they are on all sides of the ball. Like, they are, like, the definition of mediocre. There is nothing great about this team. There's a lot of good parts. There is nothing outstanding about this team right now.
No, man. I mean, I couldn't really – I can't really pick a bright spot. I mean, there's really none. I mean, I hate to really be a lost words, but it's like we could sum up the call in two words. Guys, we suck. All right, and it's the end of the show because basically there's nothing really to digest. And I hate to even bring this up and start negative. I mean, but it's the air around the team. But – I heard from a media member that covers the team, obviously closely, and was there, saying that the team wasn't really pissed off at the end of the game. They were kind of like, oh, it's the bye week. Like, you didn't see the fire in people when they, you know, when a team usually loses, like, equipment gets thrown and they're throwing temper tantrums, like, let's go fix it. It's kind of like they were just like, oh, we lost. That sucks.
That's what I asked you last week, too, is how to not look past the Titans to that sweet bye week. You know, how do we make sure this team doesn't do that? But that's what they did. They're like, it's the bye week. Let's go home. Let's go on vacation. Let's enjoy some time off. Let's spend some time with the family.
Did you not warn them that that's what you do at work when you kind of have a vacation? You just get in slack off mode?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens. And I guess the NFL, all those millions of dollars, doesn't really cure that. So I guess you can hate your job even if you are a multimillionaire, apparently. But, man, all right. So let's dig deep into that. I want to say that the Tennessee Titans didn't beat the Ravens. The Ravens beat the Ravens because, man, they are playing some undisciplined football, taking dumb penalties and just crap play at the wrong time. I mean, I don't want to single certain guys out, but Tyus Bowser, this is not his first time taking a really stupid penalty at just the absolute worst time. This can't be something that the Ravens were looking for when they drafted this guy.
Not at all, man. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a whole derailment, but there's definitely something going on here. Whether it's a mutiny, whether it's Harbaugh's, the message gets stale, whether it's the Ravens front office being stale, it's really hard to say or it's almost like hard to really fathom that because the Ravens have been good, so good for so long. But I want to really break it down to you, man. And I'm in, you know, looking at the other team's successful, the Eagles, the Rams have been doing, the Saints have won six straight. Just level with me here. The Eagles have won seven straight football games. The Saints have won six straight football games. The Rams are 6-2. The Vikings are 6-2. The Vikings quarterback is Case Keenum. Just let that sink in, Case Keenum.
It's crazy.
6-2. They beat us. And they were without Stephon Diggs, their best receiver. Okay? Just let that sink in. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were drafted 1-2, respectively, last year's draft. They both won their respective games, through 4 touchdowns apiece, and each team scored 51 points. Weird as that is. You look at the success of these teams, and what are they doing differently than what the Ravens should be doing? Well, first off, they're calling plays. I saw last night on Monday Night Football, and I tweeted it out. If you were not watching, just go back and look at the replay, if they even have a replay of it. Right at the end of the first half, the Green Bay Packers were without a timeout, who are their next opponent in 2 weeks. They were without a timeout. They threw the ball in the middle of the field. They had maybe, what, 7 seconds, 8 seconds left. The Ravens would have let the clock run out, standing around with their hands down, their pants going, what do we do now? This is what urgency looks like, Brandon. Go back and look at it if you can find it. Mike McCarthy coached these guys up. He got the guys out there. They ran on the field, like literally sprinted on the field, kicked the ball, and within a second left on the clock, the ball was up in the air, and it was a good field goal. That's urgency. I've seen this from other teams, and this is a Green Bay team led without Aaron Rodgers right now. You know, it's just I'm seeing these different, you know, and speaking of like the Eagles and Rams, why I bring that up is you look at what they're doing right and what the Ravens could be doing right. It's just they're calling plays. They're running this. I mean, it's just I don't think the Dolphins were that bad because, I mean, yeah, they're a bad football team. But, you know, granted, Jay Cutler wasn't there. And he was there this past weekend, and they brought out some good pieces. And they lost J.J., which they let go, and it looks like they were a lot better for it. But you look at the Eagles. They were aggressive. They went out, they got J.J. They addressed the running game. They shined out Sean Jeffrey. I mean, yeah, we got Macklin. Same thing, you know, kind of a good receiver addition. But I just feel like the Ravens went about things the wrong way in the offseason and went all defense, and it's just showing. Yeah, it doesn't help that we lost Yonda. It doesn't help that we had Woodhead go down when he was being very, very well fed the ball in the first quarter of the first game. I mean, injuries happen, but injuries happen to other teams too. And some of them have been doing good about that. Some of them have been doing horrible about that. But the Ravens are just hard to figure out. We just covered it before the game. I mean, still, they have 4 wins. Still, 2 of their 4 wins are shutouts at 60-0 total in dominant fashion. Another win is against Oakland in dominant fashion, and again, they handled the Browns very well. This game on Sunday was a game that we just – I felt like we were down 20 points, but you look at the score, and it was 16-6. I'm like, all they had to do was get a touchdown, and they're in it. All they had to do was just click. All they had to do was just turn on the switch, go over to the wall, and flip on the switch and go, here we go. We shed some light on the team. Let's start playing like it. But – And then they got urgent at the wrong time. Harbaugh swinging his arms, go, 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 when you're down 2 scores with a minute left, ain't the time to go, 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 go. That was in the second quarter or third quarter when we needed urgency. And I just felt like, again, they were lethargic, dude. There's no excuse.
I mean, everything that you're saying, I agree with, but I'm going to point the finger at John Harbaugh. I hate to say it, but everything you're describing is a lack of coaching for these players. Now, I'm not taking all the blame off of the players because, I mean, they're the ones out there that have to make the plays, Breshad Perriman. But if a team is looking past a game or a team knows, oh, the other team just got a touchdown, we're done, we're not even going to try anymore, that means that these guys aren't inspired, these guys aren't working hard, and that's up to a coach. That's a bad boss right there. So whether it's Harbaugh, whether it's the offensive or defensive coordinators, I don't know. But if you're not rallying the troops like you should, then you know it's time to move on.
Well, as a head coach, I feel like you should make personnel moves, don't you think?
I mean, that would make sense to me. And I mean, for Harbaugh to come out and on Monday and say, I Marty Morningweg, I like what he's doing and stuff like that, and saying that he's doing a good job, that doesn't cut it. You got to come out and say, yeah, there's stuff we got to improve and there's a lot of stuff we got to fix. And he knows that. Don't come out and say, oh, yeah, everything's great. We're doing
fine. Well, I'm trying to figure out why Breshad Perryman is still in the NFL.
I guess there's a couple zeros in the contract somewhere that says he has to be there otherwise, but I don't know. It's Breshad Perryman is, I mean, it seems as if they were trying to get Breshad to work really hard this game. It seems as if they were throwing him the long ball. They were trying to get him involved early on, and they were like, look, it's now or never, dude. And he floundered at that. He didn't step up the way he was supposed to. No doubt.
You know what it is?
What's that?
I think it's the Ravens being prideful. Prideful of the fact that their ego's getting in the way because they spent the first round draft pick on him, so maybe they're just like rolling the dice till like, well, maybe it's like, I guess, playing a bad game of poker and being on full tilt. It's like, you know you should quit, but you just keep throwing money in the pot thinking like you're already deeper in the hole. But it's like, but no, but I'm waiting for that one hand and that one card. And I'm going to win the biggest pot and I'm going to laugh in all your faces. I think that's what they're doing. They're waiting for that other shoe to drop and it's not. And he's costing the team. I mean, you cannot catch the ball with your body. You cannot be looking so god-awful horrible at your job. And I'm sorry, but the first interception was not Flacco's fault. You put it there, he needs to go up. It's the same kind of throw he threw to Ben Watson, but Ben Watson catches with his hands. That's a receiver. And I'm just getting really sick and tired of him just being mediocre. I mean, it stems. It's mediocre play by mediocre players. And they need to weed out the dead weight. If they can fire a Cam Cameron in midseason and hire Jim Caldwell in the Super Bowl year, if they can do that or they can do this, I don't understand why they can't let a player go or cut him. I mean, again, I don't know nuances and contracts. Maybe that's my ignorance to the game. But, hey, if a Cam Cameron's under contract and they can let him go, what's the difference with Perryman? I don't care if he's on a rookie contract. I don't care. Burn it. Bisciotti writes a check, rip it up. Say, dude, you suck. Bye. Or bench him. If you can't let him go, bench him. You'd be like, dude, you lost your time. How many times have we seen it? Super Bowl year, Brian Billick benched Tony Banks and started Trent Dilfer. You can bench a player. Why not let him go? Just bench him because he's done. I mean, if he trots out there in 2 weeks against Green Bay, we're going to lose every game out because, I mean, it's – dude, he cannot catch. He cannot do his job. And there's other receivers that I would take in a heartbeat. Hell, I'd take Josh Gordon, who just got reinstated by the Browns. I'd take him over Perryman right now. And he ain't even played 3 years, basically.
Now,
what's that tell you?
I mean, internally, if you're looking at the wide receiver position and you do bench Breshad Perryman, who takes his spot?
Chris Moore, who is more reliable. Hey, I think you could trot out there. I mean, it is what it is. How about Bella? Can she catch a football?
She used to back in her younger days.
Right,
not anymore.
Hey, at her old age, I think she'll still be formidable. But just my point is, it's just, dude, it's just, I just can't stand it. Like, really? Like, it'd be no different if Justin Tucker was constantly missing field goals. Were you going to trot out the kicker and miss another field goal? No, you're going to go right to ship. How many times? I mean, we got receivers upon receivers on the team. It ain't like he's the third option and that's it. We have the first two, Macklin and Wallace. If he's bad, put somebody else in there. Put a Chris Moore in there. I don't care. I mean, I'm glad Danny Woodhead's back in 2 weeks. He's going to get a lot of catches out of the backfield. Give it to him. But just stop throwing the ball to this guy. And here's another thing. Okay, ready for this? Why are we sending Perryman deep? Why is it not Wallace? Why are we sending old, unreliable, you know, bricks of a hands out there to catch a ball, you know, 25 yards plus down the field? Why is it not Wallace? Why is it not Ben Watson? I don't know. But you're putting the faith in the wrong guy to make the wrong play, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's really sad. And there was an analyst that was on, I think it was CBS, before the game started and was like, I don't understand why you're paying these receivers so much money when you just keep throwing it to the tight ends and the running backs. I mean, I'm right there with you. I don't know what they're spending their money on with these guys and why they're doing it. But it's where we are as an offense right now. I mean, Joe's getting the job done for the most part, but the players aren't catching the ball. Alex Collins got shut down almost completely this game, but we all knew that going in. The Titans' defense is really good against the run,
and he's going to be continued to shut down because I've already got inside info. I mean, and put this on your fantasy team if you have him on your bench. But as I have Collins and Woodhead respectively, Woodhead's going to get a bulk of the carries and a big lion's share of that once he comes back. So it's going to be Danny Woodhead exclusively in the backfield, so look out for that. Maybe that'll be a good change of pace. And I thought this was going to be a good Collins breakout game. Started that way, and it just faded, and then it just – I don't know, man. It just – I can't pinpoint it. I mean, the defense let up stops you know, where they let up some plays where they should have had some stops, which is uncharacteristic. We had one of the best secondaries going into the game. You let Rashad Matthews in two or three plays go right down a field touchdown, and it's just the team didn't look like they wanted. They shut down the running game, and you know, their running game was non-existent. You had DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, and they shut down, but it was just at that critical stop at that last touchdown where they needed to let up three, they let up seven, and that was the backbreaker. You couldn't go down another 10 when you just came within 3 points. You had to get a six-point game there at least to get maybe, you know, kick another field goal, get it back down to three. But, and again, wasting timeouts. Again, that's not the factor here, man. But, again, where we burn timeouts and wasted stupid opportunities to, oh, save 5 yards when we can't even gain the yard. I mean, in going forward on fourth down, dude, I mean, I can understand the second one, but the first one, you know, you got to take the points. I mean, you're at a 10-point game. There it is. And then we lose by three. Could have been tied. And it always happens that way where, again, miscues. We should have taken the points. We didn't. And it ended up biting us, man. It's got to stop. Do we sound like a broken record?
Yeah. I mean,
We could probably replay the same show from the Jacksonville game, and it's probably the same stuff. I just feel like it's like you want to go to the show notes, just go back to all of our loss, the shows that we covered in losses, pick apart that, and then just write notes, and then just redo it except for the team we just played. So I feel like that's what's going on here. It's insanity. It's crazy.
Next loss we have, I am just going to, you know, cut in.
We should just replay this one if we lose to Green Bay, and then just put like the Green Bay players and talk about Green Bay, and that's it. We should be like the easiest show to do. Less editing for you, right? Or more editing.
Would be less editing. I'm a fan of that, but geez, I can't believe it. It's
well, I do thank you for all you do, by the way. The positive note is, you know, I'm not there to hit the keys and press the buttons, but you know, I wish I was there doing it with you and hands on experience. But I do appreciate, and I'm sure all the listeners do appreciate all this guy does. It is Thanksgiving month and the season of giving thanks. I would say thank you, Brandon, for doing all that heavy lifting, man, because I couldn't do it without you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And, of course, I can't do the show without you. You got all the knowledge. I would just be going, can't believe all right,
let's stop being sappy here. Ravens suck, dude.
Yeah, this is a bad time to be a Ravens fan.
I mean, it's not a bad – I mean, dark days come and go with teams, and it happens. I wouldn't really go as far as – yeah, it is. It's bad to be a Ravens fan, but I wouldn't give it up for the world. I mean, again, you know, I was in Minnesota – you know, bringing up that experience, and there's fans that don't even get to enjoy the culture and experience that we have around here. So again, they might suck, and I don't take it for granted one day or another. Yeah, there's some days I question it, like, why do I put the effort in? You know, why am I sitting here watching this mess? There's some days I question it. You know, it happens. But at the end of the day, I'm like, no, I do what I do because this season's only 17 weeks out of 52. And there's only 8 home games and away games, and we do only a podcast in a short time a season, and it's exciting to do, and it's fun. And we do it because it's a hobby. We do it because we love the team. We love the city. This is where we're from. And, hey, you know, I was born in 86, 3 years after the Colts left, so I didn't know what that pain felt like, and the Ravens are all I've known. The Ravens came when I was 10 years old, so going on my 10th birthday, so – this is all I knew, and I was 14, obviously, when they won their first title, followed them ever since. So this is all I know. Never seen the Orioles win a World Series. Obviously, their last one being 83, oddly enough, when the Colts left that year. So, and the closest I've been to was an ALCS game against the Royals when we lost. So, and I was there for that. So I've yet to taste that. So for me, this is all I have. And whether they suck or whether they're good, whether they're mediocre, whether they're really awesome, I cover them and I watch the games at any point because, you know, dark days and sucky days, there's brighter days ahead and there's players to be moved and there's new players to be drafted, new head coaches to be hired later down the line. And this team's always going to be there and the winning culture will be back soon.
And at least this is a bye week. You know, the Ravens can lick their wounds.
Yeah, we need a break from this, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Ravens can lick their wounds. They can kind of chill out for a little bit and hopefully regroup and figure out what's wrong, how to fix it. You know, we'll see what happens in a week and a half, really, to discuss the next game. But this bye week comes at a perfect time for the Ravens. They've got you know, as crazy as we're talking and we're so down in the dumps, the Ravens aren't eliminated yet from playoff contention.
That's funny.
I mean, it's true. I mean that we really the Ravens could still make it. Let me look at the schedule real quick because I was listening to Brian Billick talk and he was talking about the season, the rest of the season coming up. And where are we at? So you've got you end it with the Bengals, Colts, and Browns. Last three, those are three winnable games. And then maybe you get one more win between the Packers, Texans, Lions, Steelers, and the Ravens could be in the playoffs. Now, who knows how far they'll go, but right. There's still a chance. I mean, four wins, it's possible.
It is. I see. I mean, just looking at the schedule and just looking at it schedule-wise, but not playing the team that goes out there or saying, oh, if this team shows up, I see a 9-7 campaign. I see their two hardest games, which they could easily lose back-to-back. It's the Lions at home and the Steelers away. But, I mean, you're right. The Packers looked anemic last night on Monday Night Football, and they don't beat that backup quarterback in 2 weeks. That's a win. You figure coming home against the Texans against Tom Savage on Monday Night Football, that's a win. But then you lose two straight, you're 6-7. Then you pretty much win the last three games there. You have the Browns, you have the Colts, and you have the Bengals. That could be 7, 8, 9, and 7. It's funny. Watch, we'll probably finish with that record in the exact order I just said. We'll miss the playoff by one game. Watch 10-6 get in of some of the Bills or maybe the Jaguars, and we're going to go, huh, we could have been there if we'd have gotten our heads screwed on correctly against the Titans, or if we'd have just closed it out against the Bears. But and it happens every year. We always miss it by one and a half, two games, and then we'll be on the outside looking in wondering, what happened? What happened? I mean, let's go back to the losses. They like I said, I can understand if every loss they got creamed in and we couldn't come back. But again, you come back down, 11 points against the Bears, tied a game, two-point conversion and all, and it's sent it in overtime. You can't beat a Mitchell Trubisky rookie-led team at home, and you had to watch that squander away. 16-6 felt like an eternity the whole game this weekend, and you can't even score a touchdown. And then when you try to do it, it's too little, too late, kind of like, oh, where was that about 30 minutes of football ago? You know, like, you know, come on, guys. Like, do we need to, like, hold their feet to the fire to have them do something? It's just – you're right. I mean, looking at the schedule, it's doable with the watered-down schedule we have and the backup quarterbacks we have, but that's what sucks. It's why couldn't it be even a slice of mediocre elite and going from a mediocre team to elite or even good, because the opponents we have are low in quality, and I feel like that's what would get it done. But – it is what it is. They're a 4-5 record. Bill Parcells always said, you are what your record says you are. We are a 4-5 mediocre football team. We're going trading a loss, trading a win, and trading a loss, and here we go again.
And I do want to state this again. I don't think the Titans beat the Ravens this Sunday. The Ravens beat the Ravens. There's that game was very much a winnable game, but the Ravens did themselves no favors. They were taking dumb penalties. They were playing undisciplined football. That's what it was. And there's no way other around it. But I gotta blame poor players and poor coaching, because you know, if you're being coached well, you're not taking dumb penalties like that, and you're not taking, you know, who was it? Zardarius Smith had a late hit on the quarterback. Right. More disciplined teams aren't taking those stupid penalties.
Not at all, man. And I mean, it's just it comes back down to continuity and doing things right. And it's just they don't have it there, and they got to find some soul searching if they want to go into it. I mean, you're right; they're not mathematically eliminated 4-5. Again, they still have hope in this watered down league, but. You know, I'm not hoping for it. The playoffs are a foregone conclusion. I'm just here to enjoy each game until the end of the year and have fun with it as best as I can and enjoy the games to get to go to. Because we only have a few left. I think we have 1, 2, 3, 4 home games left out of the mix. So, you know, we got the Colts at home, got the Texans at home, got the Lions at home, and the Bengals. Yeah, so you got half our home games down, so I got 4 to be at. So I'm going to make the most of it and, ride it out. And if it carries us to somewhere cool, great. If it doesn't, we're going to wonder what if and go back to 2018 at the drawing board and see what happens. But until then, man, it's just bye week. Couldn't come at a greater time. But, man, they need something to happen.
Yeah, I mean, with the bye week there, there's a chance that some people will be getting a little bit more healthy. Terrence West was reported that he was coming back to practice this week. Terrence West.
Who?
He's that kid from Towson. He's a Towson Tiger.
Who? Yeah, I forget, man. It's been a eon since I've seen him run.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Terrence East? Terrence Norris? I don't know.
He's Kanye's, Kanye's
brother.
Oh,
yeah, I remember that guy. Terrence West, yeah. Well, it ain't going to matter because once Woodhead comes back and now you got Collins... He's an afterthought.
It's true. It really is. So, man, that Detroit game is actually, that'll be a fun one to watch. I'll admit it, this past Sunday, I didn't go out to a game. I stayed home and watched this past Sunday's game because I had a feeling it was just going to be bad. And
you know why it's going to be fun? Well, it's not going to be fun because John Gruden's not calling a game because I love it when he says Jim Bob Cooter. I love it. I don't know if you saw my tweets. I saw a Vegas prop bet, and I tried to tell my dad, and I couldn't find it because we saw it at work, but I forgot where the website was. Well, they had a prop bet. How many times John Gruden on Monday Night Football would say Jim Bob Cooter? I think he said it 5 times. And if for a story you don't know what this is in reference to, why are you saying that? John Gruden calls Monday Night Football, as we all know and love. The offensive coordinator for the Lions, his name is Jim Bob Cooter. And every time the Lions play in Monday football, John Gruden cannot stop saying his name. So I was counting him. I think he said it 5 times during the game, which is unprecedented. And then one time, he didn't say it at all. He was talking about the offense. Oh, they called this running play. They called this team. And then he didn't say it. And then finally he did. It was great. He was like, Jim Bob Cooter calls this great game. And I'm like, see, he said it again. It's just every time he says it, I laugh because it's that name, Jim Bob Cooter.
That's a great name.
Some fun in that game. But, yeah.
That kid probably got beat up growing up so much.
Well, he's an NFL coordinator, so I don't know how beat up he really got.
He's doing fine now. But.
He's doing fine, but Jim McCooter brings his offense in to M&T Bank soon. That's going to be a fun game because a friend of mine's coming in and flying in from town for that game. It's going to be a fun weekend, man.
Yeah, and you were in Detroit when Justin Tucker had that historic kick a couple years ago, weren't you?
I sure was.
Yeah, that was a fun game. I love the picture of that Detroit sideline, of them, their jaws just on the floor watching that final kick go through.
Yeah, and even then, I don't think that – I can't remember if that was the playoff year or not. It's just these years and seasons go by as a blur. But you enjoy every moment because you never know what game could bring, you know, a long field goal like that, a Hail Mary win. You just don't know. I mean, you're right. You know, the records might suck. We might not make it to the postseason, but – you know, I don't give up yet because, you know, it's Ravens football and you really can't throw in the towel, especially when they're not mathematically eliminated because, I mean, hey, the Eagles can win 7 straight games. If the Saints can win 6 straight games and they start 0-2, I mean, yeah, the Ravens, all they can do is find the mojo, but I remember the headlines. Saints are 0-2, oh, maybe they're done. And the Ravens at that point were 2-0. So you look at their – look how they're reverse fortune. And you see my point here? The Ravens, after week two, were 2-0. The Saints were 0-2. The Saints are 6-2, and the Ravens are 4-5. See, it just said any team can turn it around. The Eagles were 1-1. They lost to the Chiefs in week two, turned it on ever since, and now the best record, and Wentz is playing out of his mind right now. And then you got, you know, the Patriots, I think, with a 3-game winning streak along with Pittsburgh. So it the mojo can get found. It's just, again, yeah, I know if you went out and you're 11-5, it's the season's dwindling down, and I'm not saying they will do that. I see again, you know, 8-8, 9-7 record at most, maybe hit, you know, 6-10 is the bottom, maybe 7-9. They're going to float around 6-9 wins this year. But that's just my take on it. I'm kind of, you know, just searching for answers at this point. But Brandon, I think we need to go on a bye week here and just recuperate.
That's true. So, Josh, have we covered everything?
Quote the Raven, nevermore. Hello, bye week.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Just tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Oh, it's easier than Breshad Perriman trying to catch that football at Italian GQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing cool photos and videos and news articles. Anything we find interesting, we will share with you guys. So go over there and check us out on Facebook. And while you're on Facebook, share one of our posts to all of your followers, all of your friends, and let them know that you're a Ravens fan. Because we do this show for free. You listen, stream. stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return, please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social, on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We will be back next week for our Purple Friday preview after this bye week. To discuss the upcoming game. Hopefully it's a little bit more of a uplifting show than what you got this week. But, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. It's halfway point in the season, a little bit over that. It's 4-5 record. Bye week comes at week number 10 out of 17. Finally made it to the rest and relaxation part of the season where we could take a break from all this craziness and trying to figure out who this team is, why they play the way they do, who's going to get fired, who's going to get hired, and how I think we can run the team. But, guys, it's just been rough, I know. But Ravens fam, through and through, wins and losses, all the crap, it all comes with it because there are sunny and brighter days ahead. It might not seem it now. And I know we always joke when we say the overcast on the show. It might be overcast now. Especially, you know, lately, you know, doom and gloom, man, this team just flat out sucks. And I get it. You know, it's, you know, lack of the passion, lack of the playmakers. We get it. Is it a coaching, you know, move? Is it a personnel move? Is it front office move? I don't know. I don't know the answers. And if I did, I'd send them to the Ravens and say, here's the magic solution. But we think we know, but we really don't. And at this point, you just got to let it ride it out, let the moves and the chips where they fall. And, we're going to see when the dust settles at the end of the year and then moving into next year. And we'll cover it from front to back and everywhere in between on the calls. We always do. Until then, rest easy. Enjoy the weekend. We're 2 weeks away from the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. It's going to be great. Fantastic. And we're here almost in mid-November. Enjoy the weekend, whatever you decide to do. I know I'm going to be relaxing, getting errands done, but also watching some good wholesome football and just taking a break from the fact that we don't have to get caught up in the whole, oh my gosh, moments that the Ravens always bring. But until then.
You want to know what I'm doing this weekend?
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm putting my tree up.
I might do the same. I was still shopping for a tree for my new house, and I'm still debating on what I want to get. So might be doing the same. I don't know. I usually do that like Thanksgiving weekend and then, you know, kind of set that up as my tradition. But I'm always in a spirit. I've already been listening to the Holly Station on XM Radio.
Oh, yeah.
People love me. So I love, it's my favorite time of year. As soon as Halloween's over, it's like I'm all about the Holly Station, and like I've already seen Elf once already on TV. So I'm like, I love it. I mean, but like I said, I'm decorating my house for Thanksgiving in fall right now. But usually once Thanksgiving's over, I kind of like, you know, get the Christmas decorations out. It's time.
That's right.
Absolutely, ma'am. Absolutely. Well, enjoy that. Obviously, you know, we're all in the spirit and, you know, try to be uplifting. You know, it's doom and gloom, but again, you know, holiday season's here. Raven season's in full swing, 4-5, as it may be. Till then, guys, I'm gonna stop rambling when I know I just don't have answers right now. Maybe we just suck. Let's just enjoy the bye week. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com. Yeah.